Luke 15:11-32. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms round him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the elder son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The elder brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'"
We're going to be looking a bit more at this story, and as I start, I wanted to ask a couple questions. I wonder what your relationship with your family is like. Maybe your parents, your brother or sister. I wonder what your relationship with your friends is like. Because relationships have to go two ways, don't they? Somebody has to give, the other person receives, and then they also give. And if we receive a lot from someone, often we want to give back. So I have three kids. They're 2, 3, and 7. But I obviously also have parents. And having seen how hard it is to look after the kids, I really want to give back to my parents. I want to show gratitude to them. They've given me so much. I want to give to them. But if you've ever been in a friendship where one side gives and the other doesn't, that's quite hard. Somebody's texting, inviting you to come with them somewhere, to spend time with them, and they just ignore you. Or maybe someone goes beyond the call of duty. They work really hard to help you in a difficult situation. And then you face some trouble, and they're nowhere to be seen. It can be really hard. They need to go both ways, those relationships, don't they? And then they can become wonderful, close friendships. The third question I want to ask is, what is your relationship like with God? Because that's what this story is really about. Someone has said that this is one of the most beautiful stories ever told. So we can see it as a puppet show, and it's great, and we can kind of understand it. And yet, if you've been a Christian for many, many, many years, I think you can still get something from this over and over again. This story is about two types of people with the same problem. But mostly, actually, it's a story about God. What kind of God is he? What kind of a relationship can we have with him? Jesus tells a story to teach people why he came and about who God is. So you've seen it as a puppet show. Let's try and imagine it. Let's try and get into the world of this story here. It's a story in three scenes. So if you're crafting a movie, there'll be one scene, the middle scene, and the final scene. And in the first scene, there's a man with two sons. And there are a series of shocking events. If you have a Bible, look at verse 11. There's a man with two sons, and the first shock comes in verse 12. "Father, give me my share of the estate," the younger son says. This is outrageous. He's basically saying to the father, "I wish you were dead." The puppet show put it quite nicely and gently, actually. I thought it was good. But he is saying, "I wish you were dead. I wish that you were dead so that I can have your stuff." We wonder, what kind of relationship did they have? Goodness me. He doesn't like the father, but he likes the father's stuff. And the next shock comes just after that. "So he divided his property between them." The normal reaction of a father might have been different. Outrage, anger, hurt. How can you ask for that? But he goes along and he gives him. Shortly after he gets the property, he sells it. It probably was land. And so he sells it and he gets cash, something he can use, puts in his pocket, and off he goes. He brings shame to his family, huge shame to his family. But soon he's going to bring shame to himself. Look at all these things that happen in verse 13 to 16. The story continues. "Not long after that, the young son got together all he had and set off for a distant land. There he squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the land and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed the pig. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything." So first of all, he spends all of his money recklessly, but then he's left home. This is quite shocking. I wonder if it would be similar to two countries at war and somebody from the one country taking their family wealth, uprooting and going to make a living in another country. It would be that shocking that he has left his home and he's gone somewhere else. Then he's working for someone in the other country. He's failed. He hasn't made his own way. And so he has to work for somebody else, an enemy, and it's the lowest possible job, feeding the pigs. And the curtain kind of closes. That's scene one is done. This younger son is a picture of someone who's wandered away from God, someone who is far away from God. Jesus is saying in this story, this is what it's like for someone who rejects God and ignores them in his life. Looking for happiness and contentment away from God. "I'm my own master." The son pushes the boundaries. He ignores the father. He wants what the father has, but he doesn't want the father. What's his treatment of the father? It's terrible. He insults him. He shames him. What's the problem? He wants what the father has. He doesn't want a relationship with the father. Maybe a modern example might be someone who is going overseas to study and their parents sacrifice a lot to send them. And after a few years, the contact goes quiet and the student has taken what the parents have sacrificed but then just left home, cuts off the family, and just refuses to engage, leaves their culture, leaves their home, and just ignores their family. Like the younger son, we can be far away from God as well. The Bible tells us God made this world. All we see around him is his. It's his stuff, and it's good stuff. But instead, we ignore him. We push him away. We pretend he doesn't exist. We want to do things our way. Okay, he does exist, but I'm just going to pretend he's not there. God doesn't hold us against our will, but he wants us to come back to him. How do we come back to him? That's the question. It's the same problem that we have here with the son. Once you've shamed someone, once you've walked away, once you've cut off all those links, how do you then go back? Because the problem with shame that you bring on yourself is it's very hard to get rid of it yourself, nearly impossible. You need somebody else to come and remove it. Somebody to restore that relationship, to restore the things that you've done wrong. And our part two helps us with that solution. So the curtain comes up again, and we see the sun, probably in the pig field maybe. But something has changed. Here we see he's come to his senses. Verse 17 says, when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. So he came to his senses. He realized that he's in a bad position. I love that phrase. Someone almost waking up. Oh, what am I doing? What am I doing? I should go back home. My father's house is a much better place than here. So he has this plan. Here it is in verse 18. I will go out. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and he went to his father. And you can imagine him as he's going back, sort of practicing this. Father, I have sinned against you and against heaven. I'm not worthy to be your son. Make me like a hired servant. He kind of keeps going. Tension's probably building as he goes. And as he's going, we're wondering, what will the father do? Will he accept me? The son is still not thinking of the relationship. He's thinking, the way I can get back in the house is by being like a servant. Make me a hired servant. Well, what do you expect the father to do? If this was you, if this was your father, what would you expect? Maybe he'll be sort of standing there, tapping his foot. This better be good. What explanation does he have? Or maybe it's a open the door and slam the door in his face reaction. No, you are not coming back into this house. Or maybe it's a, okay, fine, yep, you can come back. But you'll have to earn off that debt. You will be working morning till evening until we have made back all of the loss. Do you know how much you've hurt us? You will have to make it better. This is a totally different story though, isn't it? Because the father sees the son, doesn't wait for him, doesn't even want to know much about what he has to say. He runs and he gives him a hug and he embraces him. And you see what the son does. He kind of starts off with his plan. Father, I have sinned against you and against heaven. But the father cuts him off. Verse 22, the father said to him, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf, let's have a feast. You see, he's saying, this son of mine is not going to be a servant. He's going to be a son. These are all symbols of sonship. A lovely robe, a ring, the family ring maybe. Sandals, something a servant doesn't wear. He's saying to him, you are not coming back as a hired servant. You are my son. And look what he says in verse 24. He says to him, this son of mine was dead, but he's alive again. He was lost. Now he's found. And the curtain goes down, and like the puppet show, the music is going. It's a party. This is a great celebration. If the first scene was a picture of someone wandering away from God, this is a picture, most of all, what it's like to come back to God. We come back to God and he doesn't shout at us. He doesn't demand payment. He's not like an angry father waiting with a cross word. He's waiting for us to come home to say, this is my child, and to welcome us home, to say she was lost, but now she is found. Welcome home. The solution to being far away from God is, like the son, to come to your senses, to recognize, where am I in my relationship with God? And to take the first step on the way back home. And the story really wants us to ask, are we like the younger son, trying to live apart from God? Are we far away from God? And we want what God gives. We want his things. But we don't want God. He's a bit like a bank or a shop. where we just want to go and get things, but there's no relationship there. He's just a resource for us to have. Or we just want to enjoy his world, and that's it. The message is, come home. Come home to a family, not a bank. Or maybe things are going quite well for you. Maybe you think life is quite good, actually. Career is going well. My studies, fine. But you're still ignoring God. Enjoying those good things that God has given, but ignoring him. And yet maybe there's a sense that you're far away, and you can recognize you are far away. And the message is still the same. Turn around and come home. Or maybe you know that you're wandering from far from God. You know God is there. You know that you've done wrong. You know God is not happy with the way you're living. You know you're not happy with the way you're living. And the message is still the same. Come home not fearful, not worried about what God will say, but knowing he comes and he says, welcome home. All is forgiven. That's the kind of God that Jesus is teaching us about here. God wants us to come back, to come to our senses, to remember reality. And the reality is, God is kind and loving. He is far more loving than we can ever imagine. And in his home is the best place to be. But maybe you've been following this and you think, well, hang on. This is a bit unfair. He shouldn't be able to come back and there'll be no consequences. And actually, what the father's doing is not helpful because the younger son has come back and there's no consequences. He's not going to learn from it. He's not going to get any better. What we need here is, yes, he should be kind, but there should be a kind of tough love. He needs to learn a lesson first. Well, if that's what you're thinking, that's good. Because the story is not ended. And there's a final act for us to look at. So the curtain comes up again. And don't forget, there are two sons. Now, this older son is very different to the younger son. He's not far away from the family, dishonoring the family. He's in the field working hard. And he comes home and he hears the noise of singing and dancing inside. And he calls a servant to say, you know, what's happening? I've often wondered, why does he do that? Why doesn't he just go in himself? I don't know. Maybe was he thinking, this is a party for me? And he's kind of wants to know, is this my party? So we read in verse 27. What happens? The servant says, your brother has come and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. And the elder brother is furious. In verse 28, the brother says, the elder brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out to him. Let's just pause and think about this at the moment. What's the older son's treatment of the father like? Well, it's very similar, actually. He is furious in verse 29, following on. He answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you've never given me even a goat, a tough, meaty goat, instead of a nice fat calf. You've never even given me a goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when the son of yours, not my brother, the son of yours, your son, comes back, who squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him? He's very disrespectful of the father. I've worked like a slave. You've given me nothing. I wanted to celebrate with my friends, not with the father, with my friends. And you've not done anything for me. The problem with the older son is the exact same problem with the younger son. The problem is, neither of them have a very good relationship with the father. You see, the one is far away, and it's obvious that he's cut off the father. The other is close. And for him, the relationship is still broken. He still wants what the Father can give him. He still wants the Father to give him things, to recognize him. He thinks he needs to earn something from the Father. He wants God the Father to be proud of him. He doesn't want the relationship based on love. He wants to be rewarded for things. Look, he says, I've worked hard to do well. I've tried to be a good person. I've worked hard to be honest. I respect other people. I try to be kind and humble as much as possible. God, what have you given me? I've worked so hard. Back at the story, this is shameful behavior, shouting at the Father. But again, the Father is loving and generous and kind. So look what he does. At the last few verses, verse 31, he says, my son, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive. He was lost, and he's found. And the older brother says, we don't actually know what he says, do we? The curtain closes. And this would have been a bit of a kind of cliffhanger. There should be an end. We should then know what happens to the elder brother and the younger brother. Do they reconcile? Does he come into the feast? Is it one big happy ending? What will the older brother do? The older brother who's done so well in life, what is he going to do? We don't know the end. But it looks like at this moment, the bad brother who is far away is inside with the feast. And the one who is now lost is the older brother who's still outside. He's being invited in by the Father. Come in. Come in. This feast is yours too. But he's still outside. They have the same problem. They both want something from God. They don't want God. Are you like the older brother? I was like the older brother, and sometimes, quite often, I still can be like him. I quite like to follow the rules so everyone thinks I'm a good person. I like to think that God must like me a bit better because I've done good things. But in reality, I'm doing things my own way. I like to think I work hard, like the older brother. I feel like maybe I can earn a place, and God will like me a bit better. Maybe he'll welcome me in because I've done a bit more. But in reality, I have no relationship with God. That's what I was like before I became a Christian. It was a relationship where all I wanted was, what can God give me? But I wasn't willing to adjust to being in a relationship with him. I became a Christian when I realized I'm far away from God, even though I think I'm not. Cambridge, I think, is a place where we find many older brothers. It's a place that likes to work hard, that likes to look good, that likes to do things to earn status. And maybe you're here as somebody who is successful in many ways. And the danger is, those things are great, and those things can be good and celebrated, but they can sometimes make us feel that we should be a bit closer to God because of them. And yet there's no relationship. This was me before I became a Christian. Sometimes it can still be me, but God has accepted me into his home, and that's what makes me a Christian. The elder brother thinks, if I can do this or do that, then I'll get recognition. But Jesus says, no, no, just come in. Just come into the house. You are my son. Although one father is far away and disowns the father, the other son is nearby, appears respectful, but neither of them is in the right place with the father. They both need to understand that actually the father's house is a house of grace. The father's house is a house with a father who is more loving than we could imagine. And in his house is the best place to be. So the solution is the same. recognize, where are you in your relationship? If you are like the older brother, where are you in your relationship? You might seem near, but the message is still, come back. And it might be harder for the older brother to admit that he's not in the house. He needs to understand that the house is a house of grace and kindness, not just for himself, but for everyone. For his younger brother too, so that his younger brother is not going to be made to pay back everything that he's done wrong. The father's going to say to them, both, you are my sons. Now, imagine if the older brother did come in. What would that be like? We don't know. That's not the point of this story. But let's just imagine, at the feast, there would be the father, as happy as anything, with two sons. The one son who ran away. He shamed the family. He insulted me. He destroyed our family security. He's here. This is my son. The other son, who's always been here, cares a bit more about status and looking good. He's followed the rules, but really our relationship's not been great. He's here. This is my son. Two sons here. And what Jesus is saying in this story is, which son are you? You might feel like a bit of both sometimes. And the message is, are you listening to God's call to come back? Are you running from him or hiding behind rules? Then still listen. God is calling you and he will continue to call you. You might think, well, how do you know that? You don't know me. Because I know that what the Bible teaches us about God, you can summarize in that God loves us and he wants to be in a relationship with us. That's what God is about. That's what this story is about. Now, the title for my talk was, How Can I Be Accepted by God? But there's a question that needs to be answered before that. Do you want to be accepted by God? Because the way God accepts you is like this. Just come back into the house. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what you think you've done. Come into a relationship with me. Here, like any good, perfect friendship, is the only good and perfect friendship. A God who gives and gives and gives, even when we ignore him. A God who will continue to do that, even when you think he doesn't exist. A God who will do that no matter how much we insult him. A God who keeps giving and giving. Do you want to be accepted by a God like that? I hope this story that Jesus shares with us and gives us does something to make you think, yes. If you're already in a relationship like that with God, I hope this just shows you how wonderful God is and maybe helps you think, well, where am I? I know I'm God's son or daughter, but how is my relationship with God? If you are not in a relationship with God like this, but you'd like to think a bit more about what that looks like, how do I do that? How do I come home to God? How do I come into his home? Please do talk with someone. Talk to a friend who is a Christian. Come talk to me if you'd like, or to Graham, who's been up here. We'd love to talk more with you about that.